Hello, Grandview Church. Christ is risen. It's good to be together in this Easter season, even in this way. I've been thinking over the last month or so. I keep remembering this story that I heard just after 9/11 in the States. And it was a story told on the radio by a reporter who lived in Staten Island, and his apartment had a view of the southern skyline of Manhattan Island, the skyline that had been for many years dominated by the Twin Towers that now had been devastated and eliminated. And he came into the living room and found his daughter, who was maybe 9 or 10, if I recall correctly, squinting out the window. And he asked her, what are you looking at? And she said, I think I can see it. I think I can see the skyline. And he realized as he unpacked that with her, that she was trying hard to see something that he hadn't yet even thought to look for. That she was trying to see the skyline as it was, and not as it had been. Not looking and seeing the absence of those two buildings, but looking and seeing what was. Not looking and seeing what would be, what currently dominates that skyline, but just seeing what actually was, without the shadow of the past or the specter of the future, but just the solidity of the present. So in many ways, I feel like this is the task of the prophets, that the prophets are given to this task of helping the people of God see reality, see what is, not just what has been, not what can be in the future or what they hope for in the future, but what is now and the ways in which they might participate now in creating the future that is to come, but with a solid attention to what is present. And I wonder what that word means to you, how that helps you, how it meets you in your present moment. I know that I have needed these reminders over the past weeks to be present and to not worry about what has been, perhaps to give space to lament, and to engage in longings for what can be, but mostly just to be present to what is, and to not miss this moment and these opportunities as they emerge around us. So I want us to join the prophet Isaiah in this familiar text of Isaiah 61 and see what perspective he might have to offer us in this time from his attempts to be present with the people in the time of the exile. There's lots of hope in this text, and that hope is rooted in reversals rooted in reality. There are reversals of lament marked by ashes, that instead of ashes, there is a crown of beauty. Instead of mourning, there's the oil of joy. Instead of a spirit of despair, there's a garment of praise. So there are all of these reversals that are rooted in what is, and yet bring the people into new spaces. There are declarations that the Spirit of God is on the move and is bringing about some other systemic changes. The prisoners are being set free. The blind are receiving sight. And this year of Jubilee has been declared. And the language of Jubilee isn't as obvious to our ears as it would have been to the ears of those who heard this message from that space of exile. That there's Jubilee language that runs through this whole thing. So what is the Jubilee? It is a Sabbath of Sabbaths. It was laid out, the parameters of it were laid out in the book of Leviticus, and this was to be the marker of the people of God, particularly after they came out of captivity in Egypt. Again, this rehearsal of this Jubilee language with this sense of this would be a marker upon the people as they returned to their homelands. And that Jubilee was always this movement of radical rest. It was the Sabbath rest stopping that happens every 7 days in Sabbath observance, but it was a year-long Sabbath in which there was not the normal patterns of planting and doing the work that typically would have marked each year. There was a radical rest and a stopping that was to mark the Jubilee year. And in that stopping, there was also a reset of socioeconomic norms, that there was supposed to be a reordering of socioeconomic realities to bring things back into a more equitable space if they had gotten out of whack. So this Jubilee message that runs through all of Isaiah 61, it is good news, unequivocally good news for the marginalized. And it is bad news for those who benefit from the status quo, from the way that things are when left to their own devices. And perhaps this is why Jesus got into such trouble bringing this text up in his hometown. But for the people of God, there has always been this invitation to align our lives according to the God who loves justice, to be covenant people with the God who loves justice. And that as we do that, as we align with this Jubilee work, that all these anti-community forces would be overcome by the Spirit of God working through human agents in order to restore and establish this Jubilee economic mandate. So God's work overcomes those forces, and the people of God join that work. And the people of God are given two new identities in this text. One is they become priests, that all of the people have a priestly duty, that what was once contained in the realm of the secular has now been let loose and spread out among the people, that they mourn what they lost in these familiar spaces and rituals, but in fact new life has been breathed into them as the sacred moves out and into neighborhoods and into new places that they had never been before. And so this movement of the task of priesthood being extended to all the people, this too is a marker perhaps of our time, as we are not able to gather and to meet in our sacred spaces, and that the sacred in fact has been moved into the realm of the secular. It has been moved into every corner and aspect of our lives, because the reality is that all of life is sacred according to God. Now, some of you, I hear already, you are overwhelmed, and you're like, I don't want to become a priest. I've already had to become my own IT team. I've already had to become my own restaurant. I've already had to become the teacher to my children. I'm not up for any more new jobs. Yet it's important to notice how this task of being priests in the Jubilee order is enacted. That they are not just priests in general, but they are priests in this season of radical rest and reset. And in that space of rest and the reordering of the socioeconomic realities, that hope emerges, and that they testify to the presence of the Spirit of God reorienting. I wonder how this shift in perspective that Isaiah offers us from the midst of his own exile to the people of God at Grandview, how that shift of perspective might help us to see a new skyline. Thanks be to God.